So it's built in 1912. It's wood frame construction, shingle exterior. There are just so many stories about any given house. In fact, one of the exercises I use with my writing students is to talk about the place that they feel is home and tell me the stories that that they remember from that. For example, with the front of this house, it has a sort of an ascending kind of railing. And one of the things that I used to do when I was young would be to jump off the first one, and then I could graduate to the second one, and finally I could actually jump off the top of the front steps there.
How many feet is that?
that's about 12 feet, maybe. So one thing I would do, and it was kind of fun.
Where was the apple tree?
The apple tree was around the back. It was in the backyard, and it was a big old king. And so, because I live in this neighborhood still, I tend to walk through streets that I grew up on, and I pass the house that I grew up in. And just, I guess, hearing that apple fall and having possibly the chance of tasting something that you haven't tasted in 30-odd years or 40-odd years was too much to pass up. And so that little experience just became quite riveting in my mind, and it seemed like something that was worth putting down on paper. My name is Terrence Young, and the short memoir I've written is called Home Again. The bay ends near the house where I grew up, a short blip of a road with no more than 6 homes fronting it. And even though I don't have any reason to, when I walk that way, I tend to pass by, out of habit mostly. Whoever bought it from my parents in the 70s did little to change the way it looked, putting it to work as a rental, as so many other people around town have done with older homes, counting on skyrocketing real estate prices to make their fortune. Shabby is the word I'd use to describe the house now if I were being honest with myself, but it's hard to see a thing for what it is. Memory always gets in the way. On my walks, I will often cast a glance up at my bedroom to see if someone has finally bothered to fix the window I put a hole in with my BB gun when I was 10. While the old man's roses still line the front path, I like to make sure the renters are looking after them, and I might take a note of new curtains, a different car in the driveway. Nowadays, people talk about feng shui when they talk about houses, and I guess the old place still has a bit of that, lined up the way it is on the points of the compass. Rising sun always came into the kitchen through the back door, and the front porch caught its exit perfectly. As a kid, I'd look out my bedroom around every fall when they used to burn slash and souk, and the sky at sunset was right out of the inferno. On this day, though, I had my head down when I walked by, preoccupied with the coming term and whether the books I'd put on my syllabus had been an irremediable mistake. Teaching English to people who already speak it well enough carries a degree of pointlessness that can undermine even a strong person's sense of purpose, and I tend to agonize over my choices beyond what most of my colleagues would consider reasonable. Something startled me, and I turned just in time to see an apple from the tree in the backyard roll off the garage roof to the ground. They're big apples, kings. And growing up with that tree, I always felt that the whole neighborhood jumped whenever one of those bruisers fell. This is all to say that the sound was more than just a little familiar to me, and I stopped where I was on the sidewalk, trying to hold on to the echo of it a while longer. We were in the house for over 25 years, and until my parents sold it, I would stand underneath that tree and use my father's invention to bring down as many apples as there were to pick. It was a neat rig, and simple, too, just a long cedar pole with a wire clothes hanger that had been stretched into a large O fixed to the end. My father had sewn a cloth bag to the hanger's rim, and all I had to do was reach up, zero in on a likely candidate, give a little pull, and the apple would drop right into the bag, sweet as pie. Sometimes, if I was lazy or clumsy and pulled at the wrong time, the apple would pivot and fall, usually hitting the garage roof on its way down. It was a terrible thing when one did. just to think of the damage a drop like that would do, the waste. I used to wince as it happened, as though it was happening to me, and maybe it was, because more often than not my father would cuff me a good one on the ear for it. When I saw that apple hit the ground on my walk that day, the taste of it rushed into my mouth all at once. How crisp they used to be, and the gush of juice that always exploded against my tongue and teeth when I'd bite into one. Damn, I thought, I'd like to have one of those now. I guess I was thinking I might never know what it felt like to eat an apple from that tree again, and the idea of never struck me as sad, sadder than usual. The next minute, I found myself knocking on the door of my former home with the notion that I would ask whoever was living there if they'd mind my picking one for old time's sake. Even a windfall, I was thinking, I didn't care. And before I had time to reconsider, a girl of about 16 answered. I think when we're young, our senses are at their height. So anything that we experience, it seems to have a heightened reality to it. Our sight is good. Our smells are very keen. Our hearing, everything is immensely powerful when you're young. So I guess it makes a very strong impression. And also it's your first impression. So they're usually the strongest. You remember things stand out because they're the first things. Things that repeat themselves after a while don't stand out because they become invisible through repetition. But early imagery tends to imprint itself on us. You know, when you're writing, often you're looking just for a place to set something, and you'll choose a living room or a kitchen or a bedroom, and often I'll just resort to the spaces I remember from this house as sort of, it doesn't matter in a story, but I'm thinking about that. Tends to invest itself in my imagination still.